Have your Bibles that you open to Genesis chapter 6. We're looking at the person of Noah, and particularly at the faith of Noah, and how faith always survives. And we're looking at the various aspects of faith. And of course, we know that Noah believed God, and Noah walked with God. And so we want to look again at our faith and be challenged to walk with God. Let's pray. Father, bless these moments and minutes. May they be productive and profitable and minister grace to the hearer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you look with me at, first of all, chapter 6 and verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah accomplished a great undertaking, and that is building an ark. But not for one moment would Noah take any credit for saving himself. He might not categorize himself as a shipbuilder, but he built the most magnificent ship the world had ever known. And even today, when we read the dimensions and the description of the ark, it is something that is fantastic. But not for one moment would Noah presume that he saved himself. He was saved by grace. And so we're not saved by our faith, we're saved by God's grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. It's God's gift to us. It's God wanting to be with us, and faith is us wanting to be with God. And so there's this relationship. There's an interaction as well. If you look at verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. We look at the dimensions of the ark and what it looked like, and most people who have an English Bible will look at that and say, this is a very large thing, and it contained all the animals in the world. But there's something else about this ark that I want you to see in relation to faith. After he built this ark, it was not a very pretty thing. As a matter of fact, the word ark means a box, just a container. It was a box, and it was a box that would float, and in this box would be an accumulation of animals, and it was not a very beautiful thing. It was not very attractive. And when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ being greater than Noah, we're told by Isaiah that there was no beauty in him that we would desire him. Well, if you would look at the ark as Noah made it, it was just a box. And there was not much to be impressed with. Not only that, after he made it, of course, God told him, look at it, verse 14, to pitch it. What does that mean? Pitch it. To cover it with what? Pitch. To cover it with pitch, tar, so that it would be watertight. Now I want you to notice something here. Look at verse 14. To pitch it within and without. Lord, I just made this ark for you. Let's paint it, okay? What color can we paint it? Well, I'm going to paint it black. That's not very beautiful. God said, I want you to paint it black. I want you to paint it with pitch. Now, I don't want you just to paint the outside black. I want you to paint the inside black. I want you to picture this now. This is a black box. It's painted black on the outside. It's painted black on the inside. Can you imagine this assembly, this chapel building painted black on the outside and black on the inside? Can you imagine? And, of course, there was no electricity. And this was a black box. Talk about finding the black box. Talk about from the airline disasters. This is the original black box right here. And, of course, some people say it's somewhere in the mountains of Turkey. But this is the original black box. And I want you to see that it's black on the outside and it's black on the inside. It's not very beautiful to look at. And it took an act of faith for someone to believe that their salvation was getting into that black box. Now, in the book of Genesis, there's a word, tabau, used for box. And that word box is used for Joseph's coffin when Joseph was finally carried in Genesis chapter 50 out of Egypt. He was carried in a box. Well, this ark that Noah built, if you think about it, it looked like a gigantic coffin. Now, Jesus Christ did not look very attractive to the world of his generation. As a matter of fact, he was despised and rejected. Others had more beautiful things to offer. The Lord Jesus said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The Lord didn't paint a pretty and a rosy picture in an attempt to get people to follow him. He told them the truth. He told them of God's holiness. He told them of God's coming judgment. And he also told them of God's love and mercy, and that there could be found mercy if they would enter into him. Likewise, I want you to realize that the message of Noah was one of coming condemnation. As a matter of fact, we're told in the book of Hebrews that it was a message of righteousness. That was it. There's nothing more unpopular today than the message of righteousness. Preaching that we need to turn from sin and be holy. That makes people feel uncomfortable. And the message of Noah was that God was going to judge sin, God was going to judge the world, and all the world was going to be condemned. Not a very attractive message. And the crowds were not pouring in. But it was the message of truth. And Noah built this ark according to God's dimensions. There are some people who think that we cannot say no to God if God calls us. They talk about irresistible grace. Well, if anybody ever resisted grace, it was right here. The message of Noah went out to everyone to repent. And if you don't believe the Old Testament is sufficient, go to the New Testament and read in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, where it says very clearly, it's not the will of God that any should perish. It was not the will of God that any should perish in the flood. And so God made a way. God made an ark. God made this boat. And the message of righteousness went out, and those that would come, and those that would not would perish. And one of the first lessons we learned, and we began to look at faith, is never say no to God. Those who said yes went into the ark, and they were saved. Verse 1 of chapter 7 says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. And the Lord said." Now here, God is speaking to Noah. But the Bible says clearly in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, "God at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers and by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." As sure as God spoke to Noah and showed Noah a way to be delivered, God is speaking to people today. And just as people rejected the message in the days of Noah, people discount the message of the gospel even today. Those that responded, those that believed, those that acted upon faith, those that entered in were saved. God calls us to obedience. Verse 22 of chapter 6, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." He obeyed. We saw that faith must be alive and a living thing if it is real faith. And here, recorded for time and eternity in the Word of God, is the bottom line: thus did Noah. Faith walks. Faith works. And tonight we're going to see faith waits. Real faith waits. But the important thing before we get there, verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. Partial obedience is like making half a boat. Half a boat won't float. And there's some of us who want to obey partially. And I really question if that's possible. I question if you can partially obey God and live the victorious, successful life. Another way to put it is half-heartedly. Half-heartedly. Well, without faith, without obedience, faith is not faith at all. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I say?" We don't have time to go into it tonight, but that's the bottom line. Do I do what God says? And again and again and again, the Lord used parables to point out that it's not what we say, it's what we do. Now, we're not saved by building the boat. Noah would never, never claim that he was saved by building the boat. He just did what God asked him to do. And so he gives all the glory to God. God was the one that saved him. I want you to see something else here. Chapter 7, verse 2. "And every clean beast thou shalt take to thee, by seven, the male and the female, beasts that are not clean, by two, the male and the female. Of fowls also of the air, by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. And yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." And again, Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. "And Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood." verse 8. "Of the clean beasts and the beasts that are not clean, of the fowls and everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark." Well, first of all, let me point out, the animals went in two by two. People go in one by one. You only get saved one at a time. We don't get saved in groups. We get saved one at a time. Animals were different. That was to continue to populate the earth with animals. They went in two by two. Oh, sure, Noah's sons went and Noah's wives went, but each went individually. We all have a personal and a free will. But there's something else I want you to see here about this amazing thing. Animals from all over the world coming into the ark. Verse 9 again. "There went in two and two unto Noah." The animals went to Noah. Noah didn't go to the animals. See, he didn't go out with his bear traps and his nets and his snares and his cages trying to do the will of God. Oh, God said, "I got to bring them two by two." And so where's Noah? He's out in the woods trying to catch a raccoon, and he's climbing up the tree and he's trying to... No. God brought the animals to Noah. God drew them unto salvation. You know, God did the same thing with you, and God did the same thing with me. He drew me. Now, I don't know how to explain migration, how the birds know how to go to Capistrano every year, except that somehow there's something in them that draws them. in this mysterious a symphony of nature. And I don't know what causes the salmon to want to swim upstream and find their birthing place that they had not seen in 6 or 7 years or whatever it is. How did they find that place again? How do they leave the ocean and come up the inlet and go up the rivers and go up the waterfalls and go back to the very same place where they were spawned? How do they know to do that? Well, God has done that. These animals came and they were drawn by God. And likewise, you and I have been drawn by God's amazing grace and God's love. God will not force you to get into his ark. Cages are not necessary. Snares are not necessary. Traps are not necessary. And a lot of religions set a lot of traps, especially cults. They get a little cage and put a little bit of love inside. People who are starved for love smell that and they get into the cult. And they're caught up in it. No, we don't have to bait the trap. We just need to preach the gospel. We need to preach the truth. We don't have to have magic. We can rely on God's miracle. We don't have to manipulate. We can instead let God demonstrate that he is mighty. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, said Jesus to the church of Laodicea. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. God could have broken down the door. He never forces his way in. He waits for us to come and welcome him. David said, thy gentleness hath made me great. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. That means there's room for everyone. Likewise, there were many rooms in the ark. There was room for everyone. There were room for foxes and wolves and lambs and antelopes. Room for the ant and room for the ant eater. So different and so important. And likewise, we are all different. And likewise, we are all important. And God has room for all of us. Flying things and creeping things and crawling things and high things and low things all would find a place in the ark. Jesus said, whoever will come unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. So how do I know that I'm called? How do I know that if I go to Christ and I go up the gangplank, that God won't say, not you? Jesus said, whoever cometh, I will no wise cast out. And the responding and the yielding and the submitting to the invitation of God is evidence enough that God is drawing, that God is calling, God is willing. And everyone that went into the ark was willing. No one went being dragged. No one was tricked. No one was forced. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, is the message. And it's the same as it was back then. The message, verse 1, chapter 7. First time the word is used in the Bible. Come. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come. The gospel is an invitation. People need to still hear that invitation. They still need to come. But wait a minute. Not everybody that hears the invitation is saved. Verse 7. And Noah went in. We have to not only hear the invitation and respond, we need to enter in. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 16 of chapter 6. A window thou shalt make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shall be set on the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. One door, big ark, one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The ark had many rooms. It had several layers, but it had one door. There's one door, and that door is Jesus. Chapter 7 and verse 15. And they went in unto Noah. See, again, Noah didn't go out unto them. They went in unto Noah, into the ark, two and two, of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female, of all flesh, as God commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. When God closed the door, no one else could open it. I don't know how much longer the door is going to be open. These 2,000 years, preachers of righteousness have been lifting their voices. And the message of the gospel has been ignored, has been ridiculed, and has been maligned. Just like Noah's Ark. Second Peter. These things you're familiar with, but let me just remind you of something that's significant. Verse 4 of chapter 2, 2 Peter. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. In verse 5, Noah is called the eighth person. I don't know what number you are, but you have a number. The Lord has numbered the hairs on our head. And Noah was the eighth person that went into the ark. You know, there's a certain number of people that are going to enter into the church. I don't know what the number is going to be. But when that number is reached, God's going to close the door. 120 years Noah was preaching. 120 years people were laughing. And finally, on the last day, when God said, come on in 7 days it's going to rain, they all went up one by one. And then Noah was the eighth person, and God closed the door. Could be tonight is the very last night in this old world, and God will begin his final judgment. There are still people that need to come to Christ by faith. Well, faith, real faith, walks. It's got feet. Real faith works. It's something people can see in your life, the way you live. But thirdly, real faith waits. Noah, the name Noah, means rest. His name means rest. Now, I don't know why his mother named him that. Maybe God impressed it on her heart that God had a special ministry for Noah. But his name meant rest. And there would come a time when his faith would have to rest. He responded to God. He did what God asked him to do. And then there was nothing else that could be done. I want you to realize that this box, this black box, this ark, had no rudder, had no mast, had no sail, had no steering wheel. He had nothing he could do except rest. You know, if God had put some masts on it with some sails, maybe he could have gone up and tightened the rigging and adjusted the canvas, and maybe he could have played with the rudder and decided to go this way and go that way. And no mast, no rudder, no sail, no steering. There was nothing to do. And in salvation, the truth of the matter is, God does it all. All we have to do is come and rest in Him, and He does everything. He depended on God and God alone. There wasn't a single thing that Noah could do to keep that boat afloat. For by grace are you saved through faith, and it not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Chapter 8, verse 1, and God remembered Noah. And God remembered Noah. God's never going to forget you. He knows exactly where you are. In the middle of all of that deluge, in the middle of that Holocaust, in the middle of that flood, where everything was covered, everything was drowned, and the white-capped waves were tossed to and fro, in the middle of it, there was this little black box floating. And God knew exactly where it was. The Bible says God remembered Noah. Did you ever think that God forgot you? He didn't. He knows exactly where you are. He has you on His radar screen, as He had Noah. The question is not whether God remembers us. The real problem is, do we remember God? God will never forget us. He made us, and He made us for a purpose, and He gave us a job to do. He's not going to forget us. So the problem is that we forget Him. That's the problem. The waters assuaged, verse 2, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from the heaven restrained, and the waters returned off the earth continually. And after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. Now take a look at verse 4. And the ark rested. Okay, that's it. Let's go. I've got cabin fever. I've been in this ark all these five months. I am sick and tired. I got to get out of here. No, not yet. The ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. See that? It rested on the 7th month. Can we go out and play? Not yet. I want to get out of here. Not yet. Faith knows how to wait. Faith knows how to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It rested on the 7th month, verse 4, and he's still in the ark on the 10th month. In the 10th month, or the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. It came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window. He hadn't even opened the window which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up over the earth. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark, and the waters were on the face of the whole earth. When he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto the ark. Verse 10. And he stayed yet another 7 days. He stayed. What a man of faith. Many times we don't stay long enough to see what God wants to do. We're in such a hurry. We want to plant the apple seed in the morning and cook the apple pie at supper time. We're so impatient. And if God doesn't bless when we want Him to bless, we figure, well, we just better move along. If God calls you into a ministry, if God calls you into a work, by faith, you remember that it's God that called you. Now, being a Sunday school teacher was your idea, well, then that's different. But if God put a burden in your heart and drew you and broke your heart over boys and girls, and you said, yes, Lord, I'll teach the Sunday school class because you want me to, by faith. Faith. Walk. Faith. Work. Faith. Wait. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth a dove out of the ark, and the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. Well, great. Let's go. Come on. Get your bag. Get the stuff. Nope. Verse 12. And he stayed yet another 7 days. And he sent forth the dove, which returned not again to him anymore. And it came to pass in the 600th and the first year of the first month, of the first day of the month, the waters were dried up off the earth, that Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And the second month, he stayed some more? Yeah. On the 7th and 20th day of the month, the earth was dried. Ah, what was he waiting for? Verse 15. And God spake unto Moses, saying, go forth from the ark. Many of us would have rushed out, and we would have been bogged down in the mire and the muck. We would have sunk down into the quicksand, because we just wouldn't wait. How much trouble, how much sorrow has this world known because men and women would not wait on God? Just think about it. Abraham did so good for so long. He was waiting. And finally they figured, well, the animals are not coming to us. Maybe we should go to the animals. Let's get some traps. We're not getting any babies around here, and I'm not getting any younger. And they came up with a good idea. Hagar and Ishmael. And today the world is reaping the results of that impatience. Father Abraham, couldn't you wait just a little more? You waited so long. What a lesson there is. A faith needs to wait on God until God says go. Verse 16. Whoops, time's going. Verse 16. Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons, and thy wives with thee. We need to learn to wait. What does Noah mean? Noah means rest. And where did the ark rest? On Mount Ararat. And what does Ararat mean? It means holy ground. Faith rests on holy ground. May we do so this week. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the invitation to come unto him. Thank you for the day that tugged at our heart, and for the day we entered into the one who called himself the door. Thank you that we can rest in him. And when we do, we rest on holy ground. Help us, Lord, as did Noah, to be preachers of righteousness and to tell people that the time is short, but the door is still open. May some come to faith in Christ. Even this week, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and good night.